Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Horde, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth Podcast. I like it, I love it, I want some more of it edition, as we look back at the Bengals' first win in nearly a full calendar year, 22-6, over the New York Jets. Coming up, you'll hear radio replays, one-on-one locker room interviews, and Dave Lapham will join me for post-game analysis. Plus, in this week's Fun Facts conversation, I'll throw a wide variety of questions at Andy Dalton, ranging from how he felt about having bright red hair as a kid to what kind of swag he received for playing in the Rose Bowl as a college senior. All of that is straight ahead, but first, here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or Podbean. It's the greatest thing since the Glad brand tall kitchen garbage bags with Febreze freshness. It has to be the greatest garbage bag ever made. It's strong. It has great drawstring technology at the top to seal the bag after use. And perhaps best of all, it completely neutralizes garbage stench with a built-in aroma of Febreze air freshener. So the next time you're buying kitchen garbage bags, get the one I just described. You'll be glad. Let's get to football. The New York Jets entered Paul Brown Stadium on a roll with a three-game winning streak in which the Jets had scored 34 points in every game. Sure enough, they drove right down the field to start the game and took an early lead.
Out of the hold of the punter, Lachlan Edwards. Thomas Hennessy snaps it back. Here comes the kick, a high spinning end-over-end kick. It is good. And the Jets score on their opening drive for the sixth consecutive game.
But with Andy Dalton back in the starting lineup for the Bengals, that 3-0 lead didn't last.
Dalton under center now. He takes the snap, fakes a handoff to Mixon. He's looking left. He loads up and throws. What a catch by Auden Tate as he extends those gigantic arms and reels it in for a first down at the 18-yard line. Marcus May in coverage, and the Bengals have entered the Gold Star Red Zone.
And on the very next play, the Bengals took the lead as Dalton made history.
First and 10 at the 17 of the Jets. Dalton fakes a handoff from the pocket, throws over the middle.
Oh,
it is caught,
baby,
for a touchdown. Oh, by Tyler Boyd. Andy Dalton threading the needle between two New York Jets defenders. And with that touchdown pass, the Red Rifle stands alone. Career touchdown pass number 198 in his NFL career, more than any other quarterback in Bengals history.
They both wear number 14, Kenny Anderson and Andy Dalton. And I'll tell you what, this throw is unbelievable.
A few completions later, Dalton also passed Ken Anderson for most completions in Bengals history. And Dave Lapham talked to him about it after the game.
My roommate was a hell of a quarterback, Kenny Anderson. You broke his record for touchdown passes today with the 198th, and you broke his completion record during the course of today's game. Number 14 has been good to this franchise. You and Kenny have both worn it with dignity for sure. How big is it to break those records?
You know, it feels good. I mean, it's you never go into it, you know, with the mindset of breaking records and all that kind of stuff. I think the whole thing is been fortunate to be here for a long time and been a part of some really good teams. And with that comes records and touchdowns and all the stuff that comes with it. It's been fun getting to know Kenny throughout the years. Just feel very thankful that he let me wear 14, first of all. And I think it's been cool to just kind of follow in his footsteps, what he established here in Cincinnati with number 14, and then trying to carry that on.
Andy's touchdown pass to Boyd gave the Bengals a 7-3 lead at the end of the first quarter. It should have been 14-3 early in the second, but C.J. Uzomah dropped a nobody-near-him TD pass from the 6-yard line. And that forced the Bengals to settle for a field goal.
A 24-yard try out of the hold of Kevin Huber. He catches the ball, puts it down, spins the laces, and Bullock's kick is good as the Bengals take a 7-point lead.
Believe it or not, that equaled the Bengals' biggest lead all season. The next time they got the ball, They went up by two scores for the first time.
Second and goal from the five. Two receivers go out to the left. Dalton catches a shotgun snap. He hands it off to Mixon, and Joe Mixon charges straight ahead and takes it into the end zone. Touchdown, Bengals.
Nice job inside. I'll tell you what, Jordan, Trey Hopkins, John Miller, nice job inside.
A Sam Ficken field goal with 4 seconds left in the half made the score 17-6 in favor of the Bengals. Here's Andy Dalton.
We've played good halves before this year, but we couldn't let it just be one half. We had to play a complete game, and I think we understood that, and guys responded, and we got that done today.
The key in the second half was the Bengals' pass rush.
Donald blowing on his hands. He is ready for the shotgun snap. He drops back to throw from the middle of the end zone. Short pass. It is caught. Le'Veon Bell tackled. There's a penalty flag in the end zone. Could that be holding in the end zone for a safety?
If that is. That's a safety, yeah. If that's a hold, that's 2 points.
B.W. Webb made the tackle.
That's Beecham.
Holding. Offense number 68. That foul occurred in the end zone.
Andrew Brown drew the penalty that gave the Bengals a 19-6 lead. You scored 2 points today. You drew a holding penalty in the end zone. You're responsible for two of the points.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, that's the first one I ever had in my life, man. So thank God for it.
How quickly did it sink in that that just happened?
As soon as I looked at the referee, and as soon as they said holding on number 68, I was like, oh! And then he did this. He went up the safety, so I'm like, oh! I ran to the sideline. I'm like, let's go. I had fun, man.
Following the safety, the Jets had to kick it back to Cincinnati from the 20-yard line, giving the Bengals good field position. That led to a 47-yard Bullock field goal that made the score 22-6 going to the fourth quarter. Carlos Dunlap took over from there.
Darnold ready on third down and 7 from his own 12. Single high safety. Cincinnati showing blitz. They send 5. Darnold in trouble.
Boom!
Sacked! At the 5-yard line, boom. Carlos Dunlap got there first. Second and 10 at the Cincinnati 38. Darnold back to throw, looking left. Boom. Here comes Dunlap. He's got him again. Boom. Third sack of the day for Carlos Dunlap. Back at the 43 for a 5-yard loss.
And Brandon Shell got beaten again. Once again, he's a shell of himself.
With 3 sacks, Dunlap is up to 78 in his career. Only 5.5 from Eddie Edwards' all-time franchise record. And with the Bengals up by 16 points with less than 2 minutes to go, one more Dunlap pass rush helped put the game away.
Darnold back to throw. He's being chased by Carlos Dunlap. He will fling it out of bounds, and that is coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam.
After scoring 102 points in their previous 3 games, the Jets managed just 2 field goals against the Bengals. Sam Darnold was sacked 4 times and hit 9 times. Here's Dunlap on Cincinnati's relentless pass rush.
We all were swarming after the quarterback. You know, big shout out to our secondary. Everybody was on coverage, a lot of coverage sacks today. But D-line, you know, we finally got to do what we all are blessed to do, you know, get after the quarterback. Stop the run and you get a chance to get after the quarterback.
In that game against the Patriots, Sam Darnold said he saw ghosts. He saw Dunlap today in his face, 6 quarterback hits.
Right, I hope he saw a ghost today. I think Sean told me that he heard him say it again.
The final score, Cincinnati 22, the Jets 6. It was the Bengals' first win of the season, ending a 13-game losing streak that dated back to December 16th of last year. A span of 350 days. Here are Dalton and Dunlap.
This one's big. I just think, you know, we've been working hard all year for this, and you know, we were hoping it wasn't going to come week 13, but anytime you win, it's huge. And so this one means a lot. Dak getting his first win as a head coach. You know, a couple of the records that were broken today. This one feels really good.
It's a big burden lifted off our shoulders. We've been working for this for so long, and we came up short so many times. But one thing about this team, we kept coming in, kept going to work, whatever it takes, focusing in on that week, focusing on that week. What we got this week, who we got, boom. We're not looking back. We're not looking forward. We're just focusing week in and week out, and now we get to celebrate.
One of the Bengals' most articulate players is tight end C.J. Uzomah. I caught up with him after the game. We are in a very happy Bengals locker room with tight end C.J. Uzomah. Give me a couple of words for how this feels right now.
Absolutely relieved, much deserved. Togetherness, camaraderie, I don't know. It's a great feeling, honestly, man, knowing how hard we've worked, how hard this team's worked. What we've kind of sacrificed up until this point is just a huge relief getting this first win and getting this just for everybody. You know, you can see how happy we are for every single person in here. You know, we're happy for Coach Taylor and this entire staff for getting their first win, but, you know, we're happy for all the guys that, I mean, I'm congratulating everybody, TB, Andy, Gio, I mean, everybody who's just, you know, as elated as I am to get this chip off our shoulder and get this first one. We're not happy with how long it's been since we've gotten one, but we are happy to get this first one for sure.
What was Zach Taylor like when he came in here after the game?
I mean, you know, you can only imagine, man. He was happy as anything. Andy presented him with the game ball, and I know we kind of dunked him a little bit. I don't know who was. I kind of backed out of the way. I was trying to congratulate him. I was like, I'm not – it's cold. I can't – I'm not trying to deal with that, but I mean, he was just happy. He's happy for all of us, obviously, you know, for all the work that we put in, all the hours that we put in, all the hours that they put in. I think that's kind of why we wanted this win more than anything, man. I wanted to win for the staff because I really think that we're buying into kind of what they're selling us, you know, and we think that their game plan and everything that they've been doing for and to us is has been good, and we just haven't, you know, climbed that hump, and today we did.
What did Andy Dalton's return do for the offense?
You know, it was just that veteran spark, man. We wanted to win for him, too. Excuse me. But, yeah, he stood in there, dealt some dimes out there. I dropped one. We had a few drops, but it was just good to have him out there and smiling and just, you know, that veteran presence of just saying, all right, this is a big down, this is a big drive, this is, you know, we need to get here, we need to get points on the board, we need, you know, to do certain things. And it's always good to have that voice in your head, like, all right, he's right, you know, this is a chance and an opportunity for us to get the ball rolling and kind of put this game out of reach for him. So it was awesome to have him back there.
Since this is radio, I will clarify that was a normal cough. You weren't getting choked up at mere mention.
I was in my throat. I wasn't. No tears right now. All smiles.
All right. Since you won, I can ask this question. Is that the easiest touchdown pass you have ever dropped in your life?
Probably. Yeah, there's no excuse, honestly. I don't know exactly what was going on and what happened, but got off my fingertips and I dropped it, and I'm not happy about it. The boys were all, I mean, it was unbelievable how many people came up to me and they were just like, look, we know you got that. We know you'll catch another one. We know you got us. And it's kind of also reassuring that the next drive, you know, I got the opportunity to catch two more. So obviously I'm not happy about it at all. I know I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to watch film and be just disgusted with dropping it. But it is what it is. We got the win, and I got another opportunity. So, yeah, that's that.
It was a productive day for you. 5 catches, 51 yards. Auburn wins the Iron Bowl. The Bengals beat the New York Jets.
Come on now. I got the Auburn.
Did you wear that under your jersey?
Oh, I should have. I didn't. It would have been a fine or something. I don't know. They would have got me for something. But, yeah, War Eagle, who day? Great day, great weekend for sure.
Congrats. Really happy for all you guys.
Thank you very much.
One of the greatest coaches in NFL history, Tom Landry, who took the Cowboys to 5 Super Bowls, winning 2, went 0-11-1 in his first season. So Zach Taylor is off to a better start. After 11 losses, he is finally in the win column, and he talked to Lapp about it after the game.
It felt good. You know, our guys came out and we started fast in a lot of different phases, and they carried that over in the second half, kept putting pressure on that team, and defense got some points for us with the safety, and it just, you know, it felt like everything clicked today, and really proud of our guys.
You know, when you hold an offensive football team to no touchdowns, I don't care who the that's a heck of an accomplishment in the NFL when you hold a team to 6 points. I don't think they got in the red zone today, if I recall right. That's a heck of a defense performance. I mean, 17 points, 16 points, now 6 points. They're stringing them together.
They've been building off of each performance each week, and the confidence keeps growing. And we keep stressing the turnovers. You know, that's huge. We got to create some turnovers. So to get it that way without getting into turnovers was huge for us.
That was the other thing. I mean, Carlos has 3 sacks. You know, Brown forces a safety when they hold in the end zone. I mean, you only gave up 1 sack, so the sack ratio was in your favor. And and the yards, the hidden yards with that. And then Huber kept pinning them back. I mean, they started, I think, six or seven drives inside their own 10-yard line. It was nuts.
Well, in pregame, we talked about field position was going to be huge with the way that the elements were outside. It was going to be about ball security and field position. And so, you know, ended the game 0-0 with the turnover battle. But Kevin did a great job. The punt team did a great job. We felt like we won that battle.
So Andy Dalton, it looked like to me, I saw him in the locker room with a big smile on his face. He was smiling the whole game. I mean, it looked like he was out there just having fun. And that's what you want to have, right? I mean, that's what it's all about.
It was. We were playing with a lot of confidence on offense and felt like we were getting some good looks, some things we'd worked on, and we're going to be able to take advantage of it. So proud of the way that the guys executed. You look in the first half, some of the catches those guys made, and Andy was putting into a position to go get it. Just really proud of the effort and the preparation those guys put into it carried over to the game, and it was a good win for us.
Seemed like there was an effort to get Tyler Boyd off, you know, early in the football game. I think he had five targets in the first quarter and caught like three or four of them, and that was good to see.
It was. You know, again, all those guys made plays. You know, I saw CJ make some plays, Odd made some plays, all those receivers. Good job getting yards after the catch in some critical situations, and the protection up front did a great job, you know, and they kept guys off of Andy, and Andy was able to deliver.
Going into the football game, you had the fourth fewest penalties in the league and the second fewest penalty yards. You guys have been disciplined, not shooting yourself in the foot. Today, the first penalty wasn't until the second half, and it was questionable on Auden Tate. I mean, for that one to be the first one, you got to be proud. I think it was only two penalties on the day. So, I mean, that part of it has been very clean all season long.
I think that is a carryover from the discipline that we've really tried to instill in everything, the meetings, the practice, everything. Those guys carried over to the game, and just proud of those guys.
So you get the first one. You get the first notch on the belt, get that first NFL win. Now here come the Cleveland Browns, and, you know, to get a division win, I guess, is next on the docket, right?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for us. They're a really good football team. You know, we've seen them on some crossover tapes, so we know we're going to have our hands full. But you're right. We got to go fight to get this divisional win.
You know, I really thought watching Greg Williams on tape, it looked like you guys kept yourselves out of situations that he tries to take advantage of. You averaged like almost 6 yards per play on first down in the first half, and you only got to third down four times, converted two of them. I thought your first down excellence really kept him off balance in terms of how much he wanted to try to heat things up.
That was really a carryover from last week. We put ourselves in so many third and nine pluses. I think we only had three that were less than that the entirety of the game. So we're playing in third and 12, third and 13, and it's hard to manage on offense like that. So we stressed all week being more efficient on first and second down, and our guys did an excellent job there.
Auden Tate, you know, I know it's been tough not having A.J. Green, having John Ross just for, you know, a cup of coffee, basically. Hopefully John Ross is back for the Cleveland game coming up. I think he could schedule to be back, and A.J. is still week to week. But Auden Tate has proven that he is an NFL-caliber wide receiver, hasn't he?
Yes. I mean, every time his number's called, it seems like he makes the play. He's a big physical guy. He's got aggressive hands, does everything the way you want it done. He's exactly the type of guy we like to have on this team.
It sounded like it was fun in the locker room after the game. We were outside, you know, listening a little bit. The music was cranking. Everybody's excited. And, you know, I remember those days are why you play the game of football. And I know it's been a long stretch, you know, 11 weeks of not being able to taste the sweet nectar of victory. To taste that nectar is pretty damn good, isn't it?
You took for granted what winning felt like, you know, when you go through a stretch like this. And again, just couldn't be proud of everybody involved in this operation, because no one pointed fingers. Everyone took responsibility for their actions, kept raising the standard, and it paid off today.
And Coach, you know, in tribute to you, your staff, your players, I'd watch the tape, and guys around the league that I trust that watched the tape of the Bengals play, everybody was like, man, the situation they're in, they play hard. I mean, there's not anybody on that football team that's not giving effort. Man, that's a heck of a tribute, because it's not going to get any tougher than it's been, that's for sure. And to have the guys, you know, deliver what they were delivering effort-wise is big time.
It's something that's great to build off of. You want to get that type of character, you can build on it, and it's going to lead us to some great things to come in the future.
Now time for post-game analysis.
Let's start with the defensive performance. Carlos Dunlap with 3 sacks, and the Bengals held a team that had scored 34 points in each of its last 3 games to 2 field goals.
I don't care who you're playing against in the NFL, you hold a team without a touchdown during the course of an entire football game, 60 minutes of football, it's a great defensive effort. They never got in the red zone, never sniffed scoring a touchdown. had to settle for two field goals. That's a great performance. No turnovers in the football game for either football team, but the Bengals won the sack ratio plus three. They haven't done that very often. Four quarterback sacks, three by Carlos Dunlap. They also got 2 points out of a pressure when Andrew Brown was held. So, I mean, you get a safety, you get points put on the board due to pressure. That's what we hoped would happen. The Bengals defensive line getting healthy. They have 8-man rotation instead of a 6-man rotation they've been struggling with, and it's shown up the last few games, and today it showed up big time. The Jets couldn't handle it. They really pressured Sam Darnold into a lot of bad decisions.
Sam Darnold didn't see ghosts. He saw Dunlap, Hubbard, Atkins, Brown, Lawson, etc.
No doubt. I mean, Carlos Dunlap had a huge game. 7 tackles, 3 quarterback sacks, other quarterback pressures, hits. Sam Hubbard played linebacker, played defensive end on both sides of the formation, and he was relentless in his efforts of pursuit. So last 3 games, 17 points, 16 points, 6 points, getting progressively better. And those kind of point totals, if you allow those, you're going to win a lot of football games.
A very satisfying day for Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton. He became the franchise's all-time record holder for touchdown passes and completions. But more importantly, he gets his chance to come back in and lead the team to victory. What do you think his presence did today?
A lot. I think it was everything. I mean, there was a lot of confidence. He brought a lot of confidence to the huddle, brought a lot of confidence during the week of preparation at practice. You know, guys were like, he had a chip on his shoulder, and it showed all week long. And, you know, he was talking about swagger. You know, let's bring the swagger. And the thing I noticed from the very beginning, you know, I walked through the locker room in the morning, and he had gotten a text from Ken Anderson, and Kenny saying, you know, cut it loose, let it happen. And he, you know, broke two of Kenny's records. He had a smile on his face when he was showing me that, smile on his face out on the football field, good batter in between. He was enjoying himself. He was enjoying the game of football, and I think that's a big thing to take out of this. You know, I mean, the pressure starts to build. You almost become a different person, you know. You have to realize you're a grown man playing a kid's game and getting paid to do it, and that's what it looked like today for a lot of guys. They were having a lot of fun in. And Dan, quite honestly, the most complete game they played all year, complimentary football. Field position dominated by Darren Simmons' group. They're going to be number 1 in the NFL by far now with these numbers. I mean, their average drive start was a 36-yard line. The Jets was their 18-yard line. That's crazy. That's over 10 possessions. That's almost 2 football fields, and that's what they were looking at. They were backed up. The Jets started 5 drives from the 15-yard line or inside the 15-yard line. I mean, that's crazy. They were on long field after long field, and the Bengals enjoyed some short ones.
Kevin Huber had 2 touchbacks, doubling his season total, but he was crushing the ball, whether he was into the wind or had the wind at his back.
Yeah, and it was a lot of short field stuff because the Bengals didn't have a 3-and-out till the 4th quarter. You know, so they're moving the football. So even if you're not getting points, you're moving the ball and pinning them back instead of 1, 2, 3-and-out backed up, and now they're getting good field position. And that's what was happening in the first half. The Jets were going 3-and-out, and the Bengals were generating good field position off it. You know, the Bengals would pin the Jets back, 3-and-out, they'd get it at midfield and, you know, score points. And that's what you want to get done. So all in all, I mean, offense, defense, special teams, everybody supported and complimented each other in this football game more so than any this season.
Andy Dalton was given a game ball after the game for setting those records and for leading the Bengals to a victory. And Zach Taylor also got a game ball as he records his first win as a head coach.
Well earned, well deserved by both of them. You know, 2 quality guys, as we know, and had to be a difficult situation for both of them. You know, both of them having to deal with what they've had to deal with. The decision that Zach had to make was gut-wrenching. You know, he knew the effect it would have on Andy Dalton, but, you know, Andy Dalton stood up to show that he's a man, and he's a man of faith and a family man. And I think those 2 things got him through it. And when the opportunity presented itself, he was ready. And he never, you know, he talked about why be bitter. You know, at first I was bitter. Anybody would be bitter. You know, he's a human being, but he got out of that doldrum quickly. And Andy Dalton's done a lot for this organization. And I asked him after the game, you know, you've had a lot of very, very satisfying wins. Where does this one rank? He said right up there with all of them because of what he's had to deal with. So, you know, hats off to Andy Dalton, Zach Taylor, everybody.
Up next, a road game against the Cleveland Browns, who are on the cover of Sports Illustrated before the season with a big headline that read, "The Browns are back," and a smaller headline that said, "Bold prediction, Cleveland's first division title in 30 years. 3 months later, the Browns are 5-7 after losing to Devlin Duck Hodges and the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. There are currently four teams ahead of Cleveland in the battle for the AFC's final wildcard spot. Now time for this week's Fun Facts conversation as we get to know the person under the pads. This week, in honor of a record-setting day, it's quarterback Andy Dalton. I've recorded a couple of Fun Facts segments with Andy over the years, including one in his rookie year. Here are some of the most interesting answers from those two conversations. High school football in Katy, Texas. Is it like Friday Night Lights?
It is very similar to Friday Night Lights. Everybody, the town shuts down, everybody goes to games, and it's a lot of fun.
Who were your childhood heroes?
I watched some of the Cowboys, Troy Aikman. You saw what John Elway did too. So that, and then you've seen what Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, some of these other guys have done too. So I've definitely watched a lot of guys.
We're doing Fun Facts with Andy Dalton. Your last game with TCU was the Rose Bowl. When you go to those BCS bowl games, you get good gifts. What was the swag from the Rose Bowl?
What I got this past year was a recliner, and it's awesome. It is. It's a pretty sweet recliner.
Did everybody on the team get a recliner?
No, you had a chance to pick your gift, so they had a bunch of different options, so I went with a recliner.
That's impressive. I've never heard of that as a bowl gift. All right, one of my favorite things every year is right before the draft when John Gruden sits down the top quarterback picks and does those sessions. You did a good one with him. Did you enjoy it?
It was a lot of fun just to go there and to see his production and see everything that he's got going. So he definitely helped me out some.
We're doing Fun Facts with Andy Dalton. You're known for your accurate passing. How did that develop as a kid? Did you have a tire hanging in the backyard? Did you, shoot footballs at cans on a fence? What did you do?
No, I mean, I didn't have really much like that. I feel like every Saturday I'd watch college football with my dad, and we'd always go just throw the football out during a halftime of a game or something like that. And I had really good coaching growing up, so I think that all kind of helps out with that.
What did or do your folks do for a living?
My dad is an attorney, and my mom stayed at home with all of us, so it was definitely fun to have her around.
You were a second-round draft pick by the Bengals. Second-round picks get paid pretty well. What's been your biggest splurge so far?
Jeez, I bought a TV. That was about it. I haven't really got anything too big.
I hope it was a good TV at least.
Oh, it was a really good TV, but that's been my biggest purchase so far.
All right, this is going to be hard to believe now, but I had red hair as a kid, and lots of it. I know, very hard to believe, but I hated it. I hated being called Carrot Top and all of that. How about you?
I've liked it. I never really got made fun of. I guess people calling me red and all that kind of stuff. Carrot Top, I get that a lot. Ginger, all that kind of stuff, but that's never really affected me.
And now, of course, Red Rifle. Have your wife or any of your friends jokingly use that?
Yes, I have had some people jokingly use that with me.
Andy, a few years ago, you and Jordan, your wife, started a foundation to help sick kids. Now that you're a dad, does it mean that much more to help children?
Absolutely. I think, you've got a better appreciation and understanding of what we're able to do. And so, we feel fortunate to be able to help these families and to help these kids. And so... But definitely have a better appreciation of what we're able to do.
You take being a role model very seriously, don't you?
I do. There's a lot of people that look up to you, not only kids, but just people in general. And so, you can either use your platform for good or for something negative. And so, to have the understanding that everybody's watching you, kids are watching you. You want to be a good role model to these people.
Changing the subject a little bit, you never know what you can find on the internet. I found an old baseball scouting report on you. Right-handed pitcher Andy Dalton from a high school showcase. Apparently an 84-mile-an-hour fastball back then, a decent curve, corner infielder, according to this scouting report. When did you give up baseball?
I gave up baseball, I guess it was after my sophomore year. I was... started out on the team my junior year and then realized that I wanted to play football and I wanted to put all my focus on football. And so, funny story, the first the day that I told the baseball coach I wasn't going to be playing anymore, I got a letter in the mail thinking that it was for football, and it was actually for baseball, and so from a college. And so, you know, I think it's worked out all right for me.
I would say so, and that leads me naturally into my next question. The story of how you got to TCU intrigues me, because if what I've read is true, you and your dad, before your senior year of high school, basically hopped in the car with some highlight tapes and drove to some colleges trying to drum up interest. Is that pretty much the way it went?
I mean, it's something like that. There's, you know, all these colleges have camps all over the place, and so you know, I probably went to 8-10 different camps that summer before my senior year. And, you know, I had my high school highlight tape on a VHS and was going around handing them out. And so I think I went to TCU maybe 3 times. I think they had a camp at, you know, and where I'm from, up in Fort Worth, and I went and visited for their spring game and different stuff. So I think they had an idea of, you know, of me. And then I think just the way my senior year started out, whenever they offered, I think I committed about a week later.
Andy, I've met your dad a few times on Bengals road games, and it seems like you two are very close. What do you admire most about your father?
You know, he's given me so much support. You know, I don't know if I'd be here if it weren't for us driving around doing things like that, you know, to get recruited and different stuff. But, you know, he's a godly man, and, you know, I look up to him a lot.
You're very open about your Christian faith, and I understand that when you were a third grader, you expressed to your parents the desire to be a Christian.
I did. It's, you know, something that's, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and, you know, at such a young age, you know, met with our pastor and had an understanding of, you know, what it means to be a Christian. Know that, you know, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And so, you know, at that point I, you know, became a Christian. And, you know, just as time's gone on, I feel like I've grown and grown a lot in my faith.
We'll do a few more fun facts with Andy Dalton. Long before you were nicknamed the Red Rifle, you have a grandfather nicknamed Red. Is that correct?
Yeah, my mom's dad had red hair, and so naturally everybody called him Red.
A couple of years ago, Marvin Lewis challenged you to be more of a jerk. Are you?
I guess in my own personality I might be. I think it's just, you know, have the expectation of being have everything go exactly how it's supposed to, and if it doesn't, make sure everybody knows that we're going to do it the right way.
Earlier this year, you were wired for sound by NFL Films. Did you have a code word to remind your teammates there's a mic on me, just in case you or they didn't want what they were saying to be heard?
I walked around the locker room before the game and told everybody that I was mic'd up, so, you know, I think everybody knew.
Here's a quick invitation to join us on location this week. On Friday afternoon from 3 to 6, we'll be at Buffalo Wings and Rings in Oakley for the Bengals Pep Rally Show. A current player will join us, and we'll have plenty of giveaways, too. That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a minute, please give it a rating or share a comment. Those 5-star ratings help more Bengals fans find our podcast. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.